we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
To boost or not to boost, that is the apparent question that our media seems to be asking us on a daily basis. The interesting thing is, first of all, the White House has not called this a booster, and we will talk about that later, how that subterfuge in dialect and what is going on, but instead they have called this an updated vaccine. But regardless of whether it is an updated vaccine or whether it is a booster, it is an important thing for us to evaluate whether the data on this product is as bad as the data on the previous product. So first off, what I would like to do is play a local interview that was done in a Philadelphia outlet, which is home to the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, which happens to be one of the historically most reputable, as well as I think the first hospital in the history of children's health in the country. I think actually the Hospital of Philadelphia was also the first hospital in America, as well as I think the hospital, well, what I would call Penn Medical School now, was the first medical school as well. So we're going to listen to an expert, Dr. Paul Offit, what I would usually have called a vaccine champion, and listen to his review of the ongoing debate in these boosters.
Many have been anxiously awaiting the new boosters from Pfizer and Moderna. There's debate about how they'll hold up against the subvariants the shots are designed to target. Today, I spoke with Dr. Paul Offit, a vaccine expert from CHOP, who also helps to advise the FDA. He tells me what many may not realize is that right now, the only information about these specific shots is from studies in mice.
It's not only that we don't have clinical data, seeing whether it works, which makes sense because, you know, we're doing this on the fly. We don't have immune data in people.
Nearly 2.5 years into this pandemic, and new vaccine boosters appear to be on the horizon. The latest from Pfizer and Moderna would target the BA4 and dominant BA5 Omicron subvariants. But Dr. Paul Offit, a renowned vaccine expert at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, who is also on the FDA's 21-member vaccine advisory committee, is telling people who may want the shot to wait until there's more information from the drug companies.
Right now, they're saying that we should trust mouse data, and I don't think that should ever be true. I don't think you should ever ask tens of billions of people to get a vaccine based on mouse data.
Dr. Offit explains mice and other animals are typically the first to be tested in preclinical trials whenever a new vaccine is made.
And that tells you whether or not something is at least immunogenic, that it can induce an immune response that you think might be protective. And it also tells you whether or not you have an obvious safety problem. And then you slowly go into people, so-called phase 1 trials.
And there's no public data on that yet. What's more, for these fall booster shots, the FDA is not consulting with Dr. Offit and the rest of the Independent Vaccine Advisory Committee.
The reason to consult us is because when you do that, when you consult us, that's open to the public. So we'll get then all the data from the two companies, which then is available to the public. By not doing that, by simply saying we don't need that advice, what they're also saying is we're not going to be transparent about what we have to the American public. And I just think that's not fair.
But I asked Stuart what he thinks. First of all, I'm thankful and happy that we are inviting Dr. Paul Offit to the party. I don't want to throw him out of the party, but I think he now is finally realizing that letting the FDA and letting our politicians, basically the fox run the hen house, I guess is what I would call it, it doesn't seem to have a good outcome here. Because as much as we thought it was quick to maybe compress the human trials from phase 1, 2, and 3 into 1, To ignore them completely seems a little bit beyond the pale.
Amen. What I find amazing is the timing. Four weeks ago, the illustrious Dr. Walensky, CDC director, was thrown under the bus when she had to admit their abject failures throughout this whole thing. And guess what happened 5 days later? Dr. Fauci, after saying 2 months before that he was going to make it at least through the end of this presidential term, announced his pending departure at the end of this year. What the flavor I'm getting is Raps abandoning the ship. This is another example. This guy who has been on top of all this, supposedly from their perspective, has been supportive of all this junk science that it does not invite scrutiny. Now I think the timing is very odd that he is saying, I'm not going along this time.
And interestingly enough,
that is telling to me.
Yeah, interestingly enough, they had no interest in inviting him and the 21-member independent panel to give their opinion. Why do you think that was, Stuart?
Well, because I'd find it interesting if the people that were going to be on it and knew they were going to be ignored told them beforehand, we're not going to go with it. And so they just didn't ask. I mean, that's how manipulative these people have shown themselves to being over the last 2.5 years. Why would they stop now unless there's something going on that people realize we've got to get ourselves individually, got to get ourselves out of this trap that I've put myself in? And this, I think this is not the first stupid, illogical, unethical determination that he has certainly been with. Been supportive of, he and the other members.
Yeah.
Why would he all of a sudden this time draw the line in the sand?
At the beginning of the interview, he said, you know, under the timeline of the pandemic, it made sense to maybe not have all the data. But evidently, thankfully, he at least says we should at least try it in humans before we roll it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank God.
I doubt that he said that about...
What a bastion of integrity we have at our investigative safety board.
Yeah, yeah. This is the same safety board that approved these for pregnant women and breastfeeding women, despite the abundant data, early indicators that it was a bad idea, yet they went right along with it. So if he's trying to dig himself out of a hole, I'm glad you're starting to see the light that you're about to be caught in your traps. You're in your buddy's traps all these past 2.5 years. But I'm glad you're starting to understand that you cannot continue the same tune that you've been playing to. I'm glad. It's just another example. What do I expect of this is not much, because the narrative will be pushed with or without Dr. Offit.
So
it's good. We can look at it scientifically, which we should do. But just from the beginning, I think we need to take pause and say, what's going on with the timing of his escaping the traps that have been set for them?
And interestingly enough, this was a NBC affiliate in Philadelphia. Do you know how much it was picked up by the national NBC networks?
According to prior 2.5 years in the Trusted News Initiative, I bet zero.
That would be correct. So again, this would be probably a fairly, actually I've shown it to a couple of my patients in the exam room when they ask me about the booster. And when I show them that, they go, and I say, no, this guy, Paul Offit, is the world expert, supposedly, in vaccines, especially for children. And this is what he recommends, to wait. And they go, why are we not hearing this? And I said, there might be a reason. This guy said it. Philadelphia, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, is a local story. But that local story should have broken national news. When a vaccine expert says, don't touch this thing, on the same day that we have Biden saying, God created two arms, one for the flu vaccine and one for the booster update, or whatever the heck they're calling it now. But that should, again, continue to make physicians, as well as, thank God, patients, think about, are we being told the truth?
Yeah. Yeah, that's clearly the question at hand. And for people that are new to our side of this catastrophe, welcome to the club, pal, as John McCain said. Yeah, it's a disaster. And this disaster can end when we expose them and when you take it upon yourself to question the illegitimacy of all this, because that's what it is. And then please share with your family and friends, and most importantly, your physician. Challenge them with the evidence. That's what's going to allow them, I hope, to open up their eyes and accept that they have been deceived like never before, and can join the fight to end this disaster, to end this charade, to end this injurious charade that they have been imposing on us. We need the doctors that haven't seen the light to just be asked the basic questions.
I would say just that interview, and we will make that available in our show notes. But if you ask your local physician and they say, yeah, of course, get the booster, show them that 2-minute video and ask them why the world expert in vaccines at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia was saying, wait. I think most of them, especially if they told you to get it, their eyes will be open and said, you mean Paul Offit's not on board? I think that will be a good signal to them that maybe I need to look into this a little bit better.
Yeah, send them our way. We'd be glad to, as with all of y'all, we'd be glad to answer your questions. Please send them to us through the website, America Out Loud Pulse, or through concerneddoctors.org, our website. And I think that, let's review this, the evidence of what he is rejecting.
We will do that when we get back, Stuart. So we are going to go to break quickly, and then we are going to come back and not only talk about what Dr. Offit said, but also review a recently published paper in the New England Journal of Medicine. It's not really a paper, it's really in a review, but it has some concerning developments that I think need to be known. So we will be back on America Out Loud Pulse, always one beat ahead.
I want to put in a big word for healthy cell supplements. The GI tract is not functioning normally in long COVID syndrome. I'm convinced of it. There are multiple studies. We need a much better absorbed set of nutraceutical and vitamin products for long COVID syndrome, and that's Healthy Cell. They have an entire line that's safe and effective, can help people through the long COVID syndrome. I found the best way to use Healthy Cell products is use them every day, not on and off, on and off. Take them every day consistently. The Immune Super Boost, Focus and Memory, and the REM Sleep Supplement all have powerful effects in long COVID syndrome. Go to HealthyCell.com and in the promo code, type in Out Loud for 20% off your first order. Let's get real, let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
These days, every time you turn on the news, it seems like there's a new threat to your health. Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top and shoot it down, or mix it in water. Boost your immunity. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
You wouldn't go a day without brushing your teeth or washing your hands. What about washing your nose? I mean, your nose does filter the air you breathe, air loaded with bacteria, viruses, and irritants. Make nasal hygiene part of your routine with Clear. No messy bottles to fill, no drowning sensation. Clear is a natural drug-free saline with the added benefit of xylitol, which blocks bacterial and viral adhesion. Available in stores and online at clear.com. That is X-L-E-A-R.com.
Welcome back with Dr. Jordan Vaughn. I'm Dr. Stuart Tankersley of ConcernedDoctors.org. Please join us there, but also thank you for joining us on America Out Loud Pulse. In the first segment, we talked about the highly esteemed Dr. Offit, who has been on vaccine investigative panels for years. He's out of Philadelphia's Children's Hospital, and he is putting the brakes on his perspective on allowing these new vaccines to be utilized. And he's saying, how many? Eight mice. Not seven, neither nine, but eight mice were used. And unfortunately, I think they all died, but eight mice were used. And so that's enough. The FDA has determined that we can now give them out in mass quantities to the American public. Once again, no accountability to those that made that determination. And it's very startling. Jordan, thank you again. Tell us your thoughts on the science of what they are asserting.
Well, thankfully, even the expert vaccinologist realizes that we shouldn't be asking healthy people to take a new injection based on mouse data. Now, I actually had this discussion with my next door neighbor who had a brain tumor not too long ago. He had an oligodendroma that we found and got taken out. And thankfully, we did not do what the local doctors here said. We went to New York and found a doctor that could operate and actually take it out early instead of watchful waiting. But in his case, we actually had some interesting data on maybe using mRNA technology to tell some gliomas to express some proteins that might allow the body to phagocytize or destroy that. But even him, when I was talking about him at a soccer game this week, and I said, even on him, I wouldn't have recommended that if all I had was mouse data. So even a guy with a brain tumor, I would have been hesitant to recommend an injection to him that only had preliminary mouse data. But yet, in this evident emergency, we are recommending a new vaccine, or what the White House is calling a new vaccine, I think because the old vaccine has so many issues with it. So it's like, well, we'll just kind of, you know, move on to the new vaccine because it can't be this bad twice. But the new vaccine, we're recommending giving it to not people with cancer. What are we going to give it to, Stuart?
Yeah, I think we're going to experiment on a mass proportion of the population, healthy population.
Healthy. So that's the key word there. So one of the things I always tell people is, you know, when you're talking about using a medical procedure on someone who is currently without issue and is healthy, the fundamental basics of risk and benefit have to be established in a totally different way than someone who is sick. And when someone who is sick and you try therapies that don't work, you're able as a physician with the informed consent of your patient to discuss other therapies that might help. But you would never do that with somebody who is otherwise healthy to tell them they're going to prevent something in the future that today this injection might harm them. That is fundamentally not even compatible with Western medicine. What do you think, Stuart?
So, yeah, the Nuremberg Code, you know, the 10 rules, they're breaking them all. And of course, informed consent. For those who are listening for the first time, I would refer you to the New England Journal of Medicine article from June and thus October of 2020, when they laid out the 6 criteria that must be met in order to consider doing mandates with these types of inoculations. Overarching all of them was informed consent. And of course, sadly, we have yet to reach all 6 criteria, much less the majority of them. But the fact is that we have been playing insanity with the ethics of COVID from the beginning, actually from before the beginning of it, as we know. But so what is what's going on with the latest data, Jordan, regarding the effectiveness of vaccine of these inoculations in children? Have you seen anything from any supposedly reputable journals recently about that?
So there was a study that was put forth. It was actually a correspondence, because God knows the New England Journal would never want to put this forth as an actual study. But it was data that was collected, and it was collected on a significant amount of children. And these were basically the effects of vaccination. And by the way, this is a word you probably have, you know, basically been wormholed if you are involved in the mass media or typical government stuff, but previous infection. So on Omicron infections in children, that was the name of this correspondence. And we'll have it attached to our show notes. But interesting that it had a supplementary index, which actually calculated on this 900,000 subset of children 5 to 11 years old, and the 200,000 infections that occurred between March and June, March of 2020 to June of 2022. Interestingly enough, the vaccine itself seemed to, at least for maybe a week, go head to toe with previous infection. But that benefit seemed to fall off not only dramatically,
rapidly. But
not only rapidly, it went negative, Stuart. Unlike, and we will show this in the show notes, previous infection. Now, previous infection would go from 100% down to the 50 plus range for most children if they had only had previous infection and not been vaccinated. That their vaccine effectiveness against Omicron based on their recency of infection, meaning when they had their previous infection, it would go down over time, but it would never go down much more than to about 55%. Yet.
And, I think it's an important point. I know you're about to get to it, but for the listeners, what he is about to tell you is shocking.
But among even the previously infected, and then vaccinated, the vaccine effectiveness, first of all, was never as good as prior infection. But not only that, within a matter of 6 weeks, six weeks, it went lower. But it about 16 weeks, which would be approximately 3 to 4 months based on where you're, you know, timing this, it went negative. And guess what? In prior infection among unvaccinated children, it never went negative, much less did it go under 50%. So
you're saying it went negative. Can you explain what that really means scientifically?
I mean, it would almost be like the people that were infected and then vaccinated were more likely to get infected than those that weren't vaccinated.
This is in the New England Journal of Medicine itself.
Yes, but I will tell you that we will attach the graph, but let me read you the conclusion of this, Stuart, because it might surprise you.
Yeah.
It says both the Pfizer vaccine and previous infection were found to confer considerable immunity against Omicron infections and protection against hospitalizations and death. The rapid decline in protection against Omicron infection that was conferred by vaccination and previous infection provides support for booster vaccination.
Yes, of course. Of course it does.
Of course. I'm not really sure who sponsored this, but I would agree. When you have a rapid decline into the negative, that's not good. But I would offer that the data you provided, New England Journal, is very different for the vaccinated versus the previously infected. And that goes back to what we've been screaming from the hilltops, is that if you look at the data does not say the same thing as the conclusions. And it's because the conclusions, when they're inconvenient, they're left out.
Yeah, this has happened countless times. As you mentioned earlier, there have been over 200 studies confirming that natural immunity is superior to the vaccines, as they're called. But once again, this is a clear example. Please encourage your physicians to look at this study. They cannot help but deny the obvious. When a study shows negative effect, it's a negative effect. In other words, why they would continue to purport to or to support these jabs when their data published in the New England Journal of Medicine says there's negative effect, bad effect, please beg them to stop this insanity. They don't have to stay on the train of insanity.
And not only that, when prior infection, which by the way, we know as of February 2022, under 11 population is the highest in seropositivity, which is a fancy word for saying they have all had it, Stuart. Okay. They've 85%. All had prior infection. Yeah. There is no, in this data, there is no time that adding the vaccine or even the vaccine itself is better than prior infection alone.
And that closing the closing the loop there. When a month ago, I think it's interesting with Dr. Offit's and the finding of a month ago that the wavy ribs in the rats that had the injections when in utero, the development as the rats were developing in their mama, they developed wavy ribs. Wavy ribs has been used for years as a marker for teratogenicity, which is an abnormality in the development. The timing of that finding and this and Dr. Offit's and this study is very interesting, I think.
Well, I would also ask you, Stuart, what country stopped vaccinating kids under 12 this week?
Was it the UK?
It was
the
UK.
No, the UK. The UK stopped it last week in pregnant women and breastfeeding women.
And
did they stop it in children this year?
Yeah, they must have seen the New England Journal article.
Yeah, that's right.
Versus our country that actually probably paid to have this data collated. It hasn't changed anything yet. At least a lot of the Scandinavian countries already did this.
Yeah, right,
definitely
right. Under 30.
Definitely, it was a shock to. And I will attach that paper to the show notes. That the Guardian had a lot of infectious disease people in England all worried that they were going to stop vaccinating kids under 12 unless. Under specific, unique circumstances. By the way, it kind of sounds like medicine, where you are nuanced about who you're taking care of. But God forbid we practice medicine, Stuart. All right. So we will end here. And from there, we are going to actually have Stuart interview in the next segment his pastor. And I think that will be very revealing. His pastor, I think, will provide a perspective on what is important in looking at what happened, especially in the church.
Well, While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
The spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. Now we invite you, friends, to invest some of your time with our magnificent family of experts, their minds and voices. It's all back at AmericaOutloud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day, yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
America Out Loud Pulse. Glad to have you joining us again. I am Dr. Stuart Tankersley with Dr. Jordan Vaughn of ConcernedDoctors.org. And today joining me is my preacher, Bart Lester. Bart, welcome to today's podcast on America Out Loud Pulse.
Thank you for having me, Stuart. It's a pleasure to join you on your podcast.
Thank you. We're talking about, you may have heard, or as I told you, we in the first two segments, we're talking about the rampant deceptions and lies and fraud, really, in a way that's never been acknowledged before, I would say, in our country's history. Not to say it wasn't there, but I don't think it's been so injurious as it has been in the last 2.5-3 years. And we were talking about the Minister of Health in Israel lying about her role in lack of transparency in evaluating the adverse events of the vaccines in that country. And at the beginning, a year ago, they were held up as a paragon of what real vigilance looks like. And then it was revealed, I think, by an MIT professor that they, in fact, had not done any real work. And then a paper that was released in June showed, in fact, that they delayed giving out. And the fraud that the woman in charge of the pharmacovigilance in Israel had lied. And then Of course, we were talking about Fauci's abrupt resignation notice two weeks ago, and the week before, Dr. Walensky's admission of their abject failures at the CDC. And unfortunately, it looks like the Health and Human Services Agency is going to take over their role and demand more money, more power, and less academic input, which is a bizarre threesome, which is doomed for worse failure, which I didn't think was possible. But and so we're dealing with this, going back to the big picture, we're dealing with a virus that has less than a 1% infectivity fatality rate. And when we were our group was talking to Senator Tuberville less than a year ago, I asked him at the beginning, how would you characterize America's response to the COVID pandemic? He said, fearful. One word, fearful. I think that's a very accurate assessment. And that fear has led to a lot of problems. Bringing you into the conversation now, and thank you once again for joining us, but how would you assess what's gone on in the last 2.5-3 years in our country and the world at large regarding this virus?
Well, Stuart, I think it's transformed society in many ways in a rapid way. I don't ever remember everything grinding to a halt like it did for a time. And then the variety of pressures put on citizens to, you know, get vaccinated or to reveal their health status, which I always had understood to be something that was really closely guarded, that, you know, every time I go to the doctor, one of my children, I've had to sign a number of forms or myself to let other people know about health information. And then, you know, before you get on a plane or get some coffee in a different state, you'd have to prove you've been vaccinated. So that was remarkable. I think at the speed of it, the urgency of it, anyway, it was just breathtaking.
Well, my question, one of my direct questions to you as a clergyman of the cloth is, and I don't know if I've explained this to you before, but when the governor put me on the vaccine working group, she gave appointed me to that. I received in the invitation to the working group a 75-page CDC playbook. And in that playbook, it was replete with encouragements for everybody on the working group to engage the people in their media, as well as to engage the faith leaders, and not any directives or encouragements to engage the physicians in the communities. Did you recognize early on about the vaccine that y'all were being targeted, maybe in a way, to promote this unproven genetic therapy?
You know, Stuart, I was not contacted directly to encourage people to get vaccinated. You know, I guess indirectly, I saw a lot of pastors in our community promoting the vaccine and making it a love your neighbor issue. And, of course, our leadership at our church did not agree with that. And so we didn't. But I was surprised by that. I think that's a mischaracterization of the principle to love your neighbor as yourself. And I think that is, I guess I might say this, be as bold to say it, that a misinterpretation of scripture and misleading your people, that's exactly what that passage means in this specific instance and circumstance.
Yeah, without doubt, the evidence from what I saw about the safety, and of course I was following it closely, there was never a real indication that there was safety in these new technologies, these vaccines that now cause our bodies to produce these known toxins called the spike protein. It was alarming to me. Now, wait a minute. Why isn't why are we just giving it a pass? Why are we allowing these Pfizer and Moderna and the like to not really be challenged with their safety data? Not only that, but their efficacy data. It was amazing when that first study, when their studies that allowed them to get approval came out, they had done 2 months of data of trial, and they didn't include the people that you weren't considered a part of the vaccinated group until 2 weeks after the vaccine. Well, if you include the vaccinated people, those before that two-week period came about, they had a higher risk of adverse events than the placebo group. And then, of course, they, after the study was done, 2 months later or whatever, they vaccinated the people that were in the placebo group. So you had no long-term study. That is a clear indication of fraud. They were certainly trying to cover things up, and now we know more data. That is true, with over a million injuries and, 35,000 deaths just attributable to theirs in the VAERS system. It's probably much more than that. But it's very alarming that they were so willing. Why do you think the clergy was so willing to go along with shutting down their doors, not allowing people to go into their church because they didn't want them to get a virus that had less than a 1% infectivity fatality rate? And then get this jab, get the vaccine, even though it doesn't qualify as such. Why would they, what do you think led to that dark point that allowed them to be so deceived?
Well, I think it's a complicated answer, but a few observations I have. One is, I think the church is in America, and I consider myself a Bible-believing Christian that holds the authority of Scripture as the ultimate authority, as God-breathed Word of God, and an evangelical, and I'm a Presbyterian, ordained Presbyterian minister, and hold to our doctrinal standards. But I would, in saying that, my assessment of generally people in that category, evangelical Christians, Protestants, I think many are honestly led pretty badly. And I know that's a blanket condemnation. I know there are great exceptions to that. But by that, I mean they're very captive to what the culture says. And so if the mainstream media, the New York Times, MSNBC, Yahoo News, the Drudge Report, they feel pressure from culture or society to conform, I think there's a desire to do that. And why do they do that? To evade persecution, to evade standing out, to evade social being ostracized, social pressure. And so I think the minister's job is to warn people. I think that the church ought to be a community of truth. Jesus says in John 18, he came to testify to the truth. Pontius Pilate, of course, was interviewing him and had the cynical answer, what is truth? I think that's where our society is. And I think that the kingdom of Christ is a kingdom of truth. And so we need to assess all claims, even if they're from the top down, pushed as rapidly and as comprehensively as the COVID claims were. You know, is this in the best interest of the people under our care? And so to just, you know, take the government's assessment of the situation without, in my judgment, without evaluating all the data is really very foolish.
Yeah, I think that's a very, I would agree with your assessment. It's saddening, of course. I remember, and I don't think watched the show, but there's this HBO guy that does interviews, and his name's Bill Maher or something like that. Anyways, I remember on catching a clip, and he was critiquing what's going on in our country, and he was appropriate in this instance. He said that I forget the percentage of people who claim to be Republicans This was last year, I think the poll was, by a reputable firm, said, do you think your risk of, what is your risk of dying to a group of Republicans? And it was astronomically high. I don't exactly remember, maybe 20% high. 20% of people that got infected would die. And unfortunately, of those who were Democrats that were asked the same question, I think it was like 42%. They thought that your chances of dying was 42% or something like that. Some unbelievable, completely inconsistent with reality, the truth, as we like to seek. And that just really goes to me to showing where our culture is in discernment. Is this a legitimate threat? Certainly, we don't deny that there have been a lot of people that have died from the virus. Of course, we believe also the evidence is clear. There have been so many that have died from the vaccines, as they are called, but because of the spike protein. But our culture has been badly deceived. And if the preachers aren't willing to stand up for truth and the inconvenience of truth and the facts as they are, why we shouldn't expect the culture to be able to discern when they're being sold a bad bill of goods? Is that a way you would surmise the situation?
Yeah, Stuart. I think, again, the spiritual and the physical overlap, and Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's John 14:6. So to love Jesus, to be loyal to Jesus, is to be loyal to truth, and not just, yes, I believe the Bible is accurate, but you know that 2 + 2 always equals 4. That's truth. That there's a law of gravity. If I jump off a building, I'm going to fall. And so, you know, the fact that there was, and again, not to minimize the legitimate deaths from COVID, but for people under a certain age, are a minimal risk to death from that. And I think people are just, you know, Stuart, in my experience, and I've been in ministry officially ordained 26 years, and in Hebrews, it mentions the fear of death paralyzes people. And fear is a powerful, powerful motivator. So fear of poverty, fear of losing your reputation, fear of losing your job, fear of certainly death is a tremendous factor. And people, I think a lot of people, honestly, even in the church, even in Bible-believing churches, have not come to terms with the fact of their mortality. And in Psalm 90, Moses says to number your days, to have a heart of wisdom, that 70 to 80 years is what he says is our typical lifespan. And therefore, we're to live in light of that. We're to live in light of our mortality. I think a lot of people think that they are going to control their death. They're going to control the circumstances of their death. It's going to be really a peaceful type thing. You're not guaranteed that. And so that drives a lot of people. They've been taught they're autonomous, which I don't believe, and that they're in control of everything. They're not. And that's what society assures them of. And then when this virus comes around and people are shown images on television of, you know, white people dressed in white hazmat suits taking out corpses, and for a moment you think, I'm not in control. And people act in response to that. So again, for the believer, we need not fear death because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He's dealt decisively with death and judgment that follows death through his cross and by his resurrection. So the believer can have courage to face death. And if the Lord desires to take me by COVID, so be it. I'm not saying be a fool and not take any precautions, but again, it's just wisdom. And a lot of that comes from time in the Word of God in a Bible-believing church where the Word of God is preached in the context of right leadership that's trying to nurture and disciple the people of God, that they would be lovers of truth in an age of, frankly, Stuart, a lot of lies.
Yeah, I would agree completely. What would you say to preachers, priests, rabbis who bought into the lies, who did allow the fear to cause them to shut down their doors to their houses of worship on the Lord's Day or other days? What would be your encouragement to them?
Yeah, Stuart. I mean, that was to me the most unconscionable thing. We followed in our state, Alabama, the governor's mandate. I believe it was for 6 weeks to shut our doors, and we televised our services, or live streamed them rather. And there was a lot of resistance to that on our leadership, simply because, as a Christian, we believe that the fundamental obligation of the believer is to worship the Lord. In fact, the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments tell you who to worship and how to worship and when to worship. And so we feel it's a moral issue. And to keep your church closed or synagogue or whatever, you know, for 10 months, 8 months, a year, to me is just unconscionable. And yet, you know, a lot of people did it. And if you did, and you're convinced that that was an overreaction, I would just say repent. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, admit that that was wrong and ask God's forgiveness and ask the forgiveness of your people and say you led them badly. And if you're the type of leader that can admit mistakes, and I understand it. You know, initially there's a lot of confusion. We did not know what to make of this. But once it became clear, you know, I think the moral obligation for the leaders of the people of God is to lead them in worship, in our view, on the Christian Sabbath, which is Sunday, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, the day of Jesus' resurrection.
Well, yeah, thank you so much. I think that I don't know if I've ever seen that actually in my lifetime, 55 years. I don't think I've ever seen that happen, but good Lord's in charge, and hopefully people would see that in the days ahead. What generally would be your encouragement to those who weren't in the decision-making matrix of deciding when to open or close the doors of the houses of worship?
You know, Stuart, it was a weird situation in 2020. We actually grew mainly because of that. We were one of the few churches open in our area, especially immediately after the governor's mandate was lifted. And, you know, there are people out there that love the Bible, that love the Word of God, that love Jesus, that my recommendation to you is find a church that fits those categories and is not going to be pushed around by the culture. And also acknowledge that when that happens, there will be probably consequences. And that's okay. Jesus said that would be the case. So I would just encourage people to identify with the church that sees as its fundamental priority to gather for worship, no matter what the state says. Recognize as, in my judgment, a gross overreaction.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. And thank you for joining us today. And I think now that we have come out of the fog of this, the evidence is abundantly clear that we have been massively defrauded, deceived, injured, killed by these policies of the people in charge, not just at the federal and international level, but at the state and local levels. I mean, they're still masking children in schools, even though the CDC is advising against it. This gross overreaction, by example, the teachers' unions, it's plain that they have revealed themselves not to care about the heart of the child, but their motives are different than what they should be, for example. And I'll leave with that example of what we need to repent of and in order to change the direction And we hope that those that have been the predators will become the prey, and that they will then, as a result, pray and seek forgiveness. And then there can be justification for the, there has been justification, but then there will be actions taken to those that have done this to us at every level. And with that, Bart, thank you so much for joining us. And please send us your questions. We look forward to answering more of them. And this is Dr. Stuart Tankersley of ConcernedDoctors.org with Dr. Jordan Vaughn. And thank you for joining us on America Out Loud Pulse.